We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It is a blessing to be here in the house of the Lord. I am struggling a little bit this morning, realizing that as children, we tend to want to do things that the bigger people do and yet aren't quite old enough to do. And that's what I'm struggling with this morning, is that I'm not old enough for bifocals, and I just got them. And I'm still trying to figure out where I'm supposed to look. I've been watching the older ones, when to look up and when to look down. And so hopefully you won't be distracted when I look the wrong way. But nevertheless, we're here to worship the Lord. And I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. And I bring you greetings from the Sunnyside Congregation in Sarasota, Florida. We do welcome all ages to come down to visit us. And so I think that would be a welcome to every one of you to come visit us in Sunnyside. As we've been here, and my sons and children are getting older, yesterday we were wandering around out in Grandpa's shop, and the boys took a great interest in the variety of tools that he has there, and they said, "Oh, made in the USA." And wow, this is some heavy steel. And different things that they noticed that they could tell. There was some quality there and some age to it and still very workable. And as I think of that and as I look at that, there is. The way that tools and things were made back in the older days, they made them to last. But we have something that I think sometimes we take for granted, realizing the value that we have by having the Word of God. If you stop and think about it, the age of this book, and when you have an estate sale, and Grandpa preached many sermons out of that Bible, and there's several other grandson preachers and things like that, the value goes up in dollar amount. But even more precious than that is it stands the test of time. And we have that. And we have that ability. And I believe probably a lot of us, if we would say, is the Bible important to us, we would all raise our hand and say, absolutely, the Bible is very important to us. That's easier said sometimes than done, because how we use it or not probably tells more on us how important that Word of God is. Is it something we look into daily, or is it something that is a nice antique piece on the coffee table? How do you view the Bible? You know, how did the world come into existence? Or who made man? Why is there fighting and killing? Why is there weeds in my garden? We see that people are dying. What happens to them after they die? We see animals dying. What happens to them after they die? Is there a place for the righteous person? Is there a place for the wicked person? How do we know these answers? Did an almighty being reveal them in a dream to us? Did God speak to you audibly? Did you hear it from others? Did you read it in Wall Street? Or did you read it in the Bible? I think of a conversation that I had with someone that they felt very strongly that they were God's chosen people. And my question was, well, what about us? So we'd like to be a part of that too. And they said, well, you're the other sheep. And I said, how do you know that you're not the other sheep? And the response back was, well, I don't know. That's just what I've been told. Do we believe the answers that you could have given on these questions of, is there a place for the righteous, is there a place for the wicked? Would we just say, well, yeah, I believe that because that's what we've been told, and I went to church every Sunday, and that's what the preacher said, so therefore I believe it. Is that satisfactory? Or is there a stronger base, and we know the Word of God is. God created the world. God had a close, intimate relationship with man until man sinned. When he communed with man, he was revealing himself to him. Sin broke that relationship, and God revealed himself differently. Therefore, he revealed himself through stories. At the beginning, when there wasn't a written word, and then later, through the written word. And before the first star twinkled, God was there. And when the last star falls, God will still be there. He is eternity past, eternity present, or eternity future. The Bible is a story of God revealed in history, biography, law, prayer, songs, proverbs, prophecy, parable, letters, and vision. Through this book, we begin to understand God. How does God look at marriage? How does God look at divorce? How does God look at divorce and remarriage? We know how God feels about sin. By the obedience of Eve, or disobedience of Eve and Saul. We learn that through history. And I believe we've probably experienced it ourselves. We know how he feels about lying through the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We can know and believe that God is going to keep his promises because of how he kept his promises through history. There's things that haven't been fulfilled yet. Do we question whether God's going to fulfill them? Do we have reason to question it? Because he's not been faithful in what he's said that he would do? No. We have every reason to believe that he's going to fulfill the rest of those promises that he's made. Not only that, he said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's something we can hang our hat on. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Sometimes he may feel that way, but we don't understand the whole story. We don't understand the big picture. I think of Joseph, or Job, or any of those. They didn't know the whole story. We do. And they would have had reason, from our viewpoint, to question God. But they were faithful. He promised that he will love us. He promised that he'll forgive us. What's interesting also, when you think back of the Word of God, how he kept it alive through the many generations, through the fires and through the captivities and so forth. Noah's dad, Lamech, was 56 years old when Adam died. So there's a good possibility that Lamech probably met Adam and heard the beginnings. He was 56 years old when Adam died, and Noah's grandpa, Methuselah, was 243 years old when Adam died. So that story was fairly close to the beginning of what took place in the beginning. Now Abraham was 60 years old when Noah died. And Isaac was 111 years old when Shem died. So they were, I believe, had the ability to learn from Noah and Shem, the beginnings, as well as what took place on the ark and so forth. And history tells us that writing was established in the time of Abraham as well. Today, what do we do with the precious Word of God? Like I had mentioned, it's precious, but not meant for decoration on the coffee table. It's not just a book for Sunday mornings, service, or Wednesday evening, but it's for every day. It's our roadmap. It's our guide for life. It speaks to every aspect of life, either direct or through the history or parables. The letters to the churches tells us how we need to behave as a church, as a group of believers, what we do with the erring, how we exhort, how we encourage, and so forth. It's not a book to be ashamed of. It has the answers. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Turn to 2 Peter 1. Also, as you're turning there, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works." You've probably heard a person say, "The Lord told me something," and they go on to expound it. Maybe you've said it the same way. Maybe you've experienced something in that way, and it's real to you. We notice here in 1 Peter what Peter experienced and then what he has to say about it that is very interesting in how Peter looked at the Word of God, and I think it's valuable for us as well. Let's start in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1. This is Peter in his older age. They're suggesting maybe he wrote this a little before his death. And so we can have the picture of Peter being an aged man and giving his latter year exhortations. I could see this coming from the Amoses among us. Would say, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Now, stopping there just for a moment, what he's referring to there on that holy mount is, if you go back to when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he took Peter, James, and John with him, and they were up there on that mount, and things took place to such a degree that Peter, in his quick wit, didn't know what else to say. He said, "Let's build three tabernacles." And it appears like the subject didn't go further than that, but on the way back, or sometime in that experience, Jesus told them, "Don't be talking about this. Keep this to yourselves until after my death, or after my resurrection." And so there was something great that happened there. And we see here, Peter is saying that, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount." Peter had something that very few other people had. He had an experience witnessing that very thing. And we go into verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day of dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of men. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter had a lot to say, and he had a lot of strength behind him in all that went on in his life to say, "This is Jesus Christ, this is the man to follow, this is God," and he says, "Yet we have a more sure word." that will stand through the test of times. And today we're still able to worship and to learn and to guide and follow our lives through this sure word. We need to establish in our minds, and it's a decision that we have to make. It's not something that's just going to happen, that the Bible is the Word of God. That it reveals the will of God for man, and that this revelation is without error. Until this happens, our reading will be with skepticism. Our knowing it will be warped, and our living it will be full of errors. Those things that we learn, we need to practice until it becomes habit. When faced with a problem, or a decision, or a trial, or a temptation, let's not ask, does the Word speak to this, but rather, what does the Word say? Because the Word will address it in some way, if we're willing to find it. There was a number of those items yesterday that my sons asked, what's that? And we discussed what that might have been used for and things like that. That's the type of thing we need to do with the Word of God. What does this mean? And study and search it to know how it can be used and applied. Let's read the Bible and heed it. A couple other interesting facts about the Word of God is that this is just some interesting facts that I found in another writing. It says, the most widely translated Bible book is the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the four Gospels about Jesus, and is available in about 900 different languages. Christians were among the first people to discard the 3,000-year-old tradition of using scrolls. The Bible was the first, or after Johannes Gutenberg of Germany invented the printing press in the mid-1400s, the first book printed was the Bible. The first press run was about 180 copies, and those were sold out before the presses started. And 48 copies of this masterpiece still survive today. The Bible didn't originally have chapters and verses, and that started back in 1231 with chapters, and in 1551 they added the verses. Now, several things that we probably have heard over time is little sayings that actually come from the Word of God, and even today is 2015. So when was 0001? That was back in the time of Christ. The effect that Christ has and the Bible has in everyday living is interesting as well. You've heard the term, he'll go the second mile. That's found in Matthew 5:41. Or you've heard the term, I saw the handwriting on the wall, and that's in Daniel 5:5. Or the leopard can't change its spots, that's in Jeremiah 13:23. She thinks she's holier than thou. That's in Isaiah 65:5. I escaped by the skin of my teeth. That's Job 19:20. She's the apple of my eye. Deuteronomy 32:10. He's a man after my own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. It's a case of the blind leading the blind. Matthew 15:14. We have a very powerful book in our possession, but it's up to us what we do with it. Is it neat, or is it very useful for learning our lives today? Let's make it useful. Let's kneel and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us, for life and godliness, for meeting the needs of the day. Help us not to lose sight of what you have given us and the hard work that you've gone through to accomplish it, having it put together by many men that were filled with the Holy Spirit and guided by the Holy Spirit. We pray that we not fall from this word, and that we not water it down or add to it. We pray for your Holy Spirit guidance as we study, as we read, and as we listen to the word preached to us today, that you would open it in such a way that would strengthen us and meet the needs that are in each life here this morning. You know the needs, and your word will speak to it. Thank you for being here in our midst, in our presence. We pray that you would take full control of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.